bringing the world out of paganism. Is that a fun thing to do? Yeah? And it's something that has been done once, and we need to be at it again, because our world is quickly slipping back into paganism. I know. I've got a badge. When you look at Acts, this is where it first happened, when they found them not, as they were looking for the disciples. They drew Jason out, certain brethren, into the rulers of the city, crying that these have turned the world upside down, have come here also. Now, in reality, the world was already turned upside down. They were turning it right side up, but they lived in that upside down world for so long, they thought it was right side up, so the apostles were turning it upside down, according to them. But this is our admonition. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. We need to be about the business of instructing and be about the business of reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. And to do that in a pagan world as Christians, we need to do that with questions. You need to find out what people are thinking. Human cultures will intimidate people away from the truth. When truth of God was revealed to humanity, paganism began to lose ground. The world was, you know, in darkness. They had all these superstitions, the myths, the gods that caused great fear. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know if they should go fishing because they would pull a god out. They didn't know if they should kill a cow because they'd be killing a god. So, you know, they began to lose ground when the truth of God was revealed to identify that God was God and God was real. And this world was just the world. This was just a creation of His, not a part of Him. Then when man decides to ignore God, paganism comes back in because it's wide open. The Wicca movement is rapidly growing in this country. New Ageism. If you've never heard of the New Age, study it. If you have questions after we get through with all this, just ask me. You know, I won't be able to explain everything in detail. But New Age atheism is coming back stronger, and it's coming back with a vengeance. They're not just saying, I don't believe in God anymore. They're saying, you are not very intellectual, not very smart for believing in God, because God is a myth. And they're very adamant about it, and they write books about it, and they get press about it. And you and I need to deal with that. Christianity, your Christianity, mentioned this before, is not a religion. It's not a religion. It's truth. And anybody can talk about truth anywhere. The Lord reminds us in John 17, sanctify them, the apostles and the disciples, by your truth. Your word is truth. Now there's a lot of truth in here. Tremendous amount of truth in here. And you're not going to get it all out by sitting in here once, twice, three times a week. You need to be in that. You need to read it over and over and over and over again. If you don't read it over and over and over again, you're going to miss some things. You're going to forget some things. I had somebody tell me once they would rather go through the Bible in 5 years than read it in 1 year. And I go, well, by the time you get to the end of that fifth year, you're going to forget what you studied in the first year. So read it. Learn how to read it. And then just make notes as you're reading. Little marks. I've got marks all over the edge of my Bible. Things that I need to go back and study. And they will show up. What would happen if Christians knew the truth well enough to take a stand on the Word of God and confidently pronounce it publicly? What would happen? People would sit up and take notice, because people were doing that. They're taking notice of the atheist who pronounce publicly their disbelief in God. So if we pronounce our belief in God and the truth of God, everywhere we went, to people that we meet, start a discussion, get into a discussion, and see if they look for opportunities to bring the situation, the discussion around, to something about the truth of God. Look at Peter says, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Who is there to harm you? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts always, and always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Always give an account for the hope that you have. Always be ready to defend the truth that you read in the Word of God. Think of Nehemiah and Sanballat. Sanballat tried all he could to intimidate Nehemiah from stopping the work that God had called him to do. You know, we're supposed to go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We get intimidated. How many of us, and we all do, how many of us back off because of the intimidation? We need to learn not to do that. We need to learn not to do that. Belief versus truth. This is a critical thing. Because a lot of people think that because they believe something, it's true. And whatever they believe is true. And they need to be stand firm on their beliefs. But there's a difference. There is a difference. Everybody has a philosophy of life. And everybody lives their life a certain way. They have beliefs, values, ethics, feelings, emotions. That all comes into their personality makeup. And then they do things. That's their behavior. Their behavior is based on what they believe. But you know, most of the world lives in those two areas. Belief and behavior. Belief and behavior. Some people go backwards. I want to do this, therefore in order for me to do this, I have to believe this. Therefore, that's what I believe. Instead of going the other way around. What we should do... Oh, I forgot. This thinking, that kind of thinking, just the belief and behavior... turns beliefs into mere opinions. You know, Mark was talking about Santa Claus Sunday. Santa Claus is an opinion. You know, what kind of suit does he really wear? You know, does he wear one that you climb up the walls in so he can shimmy down the chimney quicker? Or does he wear that big red and white suit that never gets black on it? And then another thing. Okay, I'm sorry. Another thing that... people believe rocks become living things. You ever seen a rock become a living thing? Nobody has ever seen a rock become a living thing. But they teach it. They teach it. People go to school. They get PhDs teaching that rocks become living things. We'll get to that later. Even Hell's Angels have ethics. So when somebody talks about ethics, you first have to know what they're talking about. And even when they talk about values, they say traditional values, but whose tradition? There are lots of traditions running around, but there are beliefs. There's the full picture. You have to get down below this line there. You have to get into truth. If your beliefs are not based on truth, then your beliefs are just an opinion. You have to know. You have to know. If you just say, well, I think, well, stop yourself right there and say, this is what I think, but go back and find out what it is you can know about whatever it is you believe. Belief becomes, instead of an opinion, it's truth in thought. Here's the truth that you get. Truth in thought is your belief. Behavior is truth in practice. And what you need to do when you're talking to people is when you get down to the idea of what is their belief, you have to ask a couple of questions. One, how do you know that? Most people won't be able to answer that question. How do you know that? Because it's just a belief to them. Well, that's what I believe. Well, how do you know that? Or how did you come to that conclusion? That's a great one to ask professors in school, teachers in school. Just say, now, you're an educated person. You've read lots of books. Give me two or three books that you've read that present the other side of the story and why you disagree with those authors. Let me know if you get a list. I've never gotten a list yet. Because they don't know. They don't know. But along the line in their desire to preserve their academic and professional and personal integrity, they go instead of truth, capital T, to small truth. And that's based on human assumptions. And boy, there are assumptions all over this world. Just any transcendental religion, assumptions. They make assumptions. They don't know where their information comes from. They don't. The Hindu religion doesn't know where they get their Hindu scriptures from. But those assumptions manifest themselves in thought, and they get irate or they get happy based on their feelings because they believe. Their belief is all made up. Look at the Baha'i faith. Baha'i faith is a universalist type of thing. Assumptions. They really don't know. What we can do is, look at these two things together. Here is everything based on based on truth. That kind of level of philosophy. Then you can have a philosophy of your life based on human assumptions. First, find out where you sit. Where you sit. How many assumptions do you have mixed in with your truth? How many of your truths are actually traditions and not truth at all? Sometimes there's a very fine line between a truth and a tradition. But, this kind of thing will enslave people to human reason, enslave people to other elements of humanity. This will free people. As Christians know, we are free from sin. And we're free from sin based on the truth of the knowledge of the Son of God who came. Jesus came for you. That's historical truth. It's not a religion. It's a historical truth. He came. When somebody lives and works in this world, they're doomed to be enslaved in sin. And stay enslaved in sin. Mark, was that 2 weeks ago? We showed the Voice of Martyrs video. But it was, people that were persecuted. Now, you can, sometimes you'll look at a film like that or read something on Voice of the Martyrs and you'll feel a compassion for the people who are being persecuted. Well, those people who are being persecuted are being persecuted from one of two ideologies. Actually, I think there's a third one in there, but either communism or Islam. Communism or Islam. Those are all based on human assumptions, human theories. Islam, Allah is not God. He and God are two different people. God has a son who came. Allah does not have a son. They can't be the same person. Communism, we'll look into that one a little bit more. But you've got these two philosophies, truth. You've got creation, fall, redemption, restoration. God created. Boom. He created. And he was done. He got done with it. There is a fall. Genesis 3, 6 through 7. Adam and Eve saw the tree. Eve thought the fruit was good to eat. She said, this one will serve for supper. Gave it to Adam to eat, and he just woken up from a long nap. So he said, go ahead. They sinned. They fell. Did they do anything really heinous? No. They ate a piece of fruit. But that put the world into sin. They ate a piece of fruit. But eating that piece of fruit was disobedience to an almighty, perfect, holy God. That makes our disobedience something terrible. Even if it's a little piece of disobedience, like eating an apple. Then there's redemption. Truth carries the story of redemption. Genesis 3:15-21. 15 was talking about the son, the seed of the woman coming, crushing the head of the serpent. 21 shows Adam and Eve being clothed with the skins of an animal. Restoration. You know, all this stuff is going to get better someday. It's all going to get made new, Revelation 21:4-5 says. Interestingly enough, for those of you who are worried about the political situation, prophecy does not have a clear place for the United States of America as a world power. Now, and I've long taught that something has to happen that will weaken the United States economically or militarily as a world power. Guess what? That may very well happen starting the 1st of January. Guess what? Jesus is coming back. So you can rejoice. You can rejoice in the fact that things are getting bad. I've had people tell me, well, the Lord's got to come back soon, because things are getting so bad. I just look at them and say, you don't know how bad it can get. A lot of dead Christians today who I heard say, I believe the Lord is coming back in my lifetime. I don't say that. I don't say it because I don't know when. This is 12:12:12. 12:21 is supposed to be the end. Well, I don't know. Neither do they. We present the truth of God, and people go, well, I don't know. That may have some mythology associated with it. And people say, on the other side, well, the Mayan calendar says the world is going to end on the 21st of December. Oh, my goodness. We better do something. They believe it. Oh, well. Human assumptions. Evolution. Abiogenesis is the word. Yeah, I get told all the time, science, when it makes a discovery, it changes its point of view. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Science used to talk about spontaneous generation, life coming from non-life. Louis Pasteur solved that issue. He disproved that. Did science change their opinion? No. They changed the word. Biogenesis is biological origin. Abiogenesis is another word that means not biological origin. All they did was change the word. They didn't change what they thought because they believed it. They believed in their assumptions. All they did was change the word. Struggle. You got struggle in evolution. Survival. Survival of the fittest. Survival of the fittest does not give you new information. Survival of the fittest is how we got our different races, different ethnic groups. Because some groups work well in colder climates, some physical attributes work better in warmer climates. That's why we get different kinds of dogs. Ever seen a chihuahua in a house that's below 75 degrees? He wouldn't survive up north. You need an Eskimo dog up there to survive. So survival of the fittest only weeds things out of the gene pool. It doesn't change the species. So, but you do have, they talk about survival. Disease, deterioration. Anybody ever get sick and got better because of the illness? Well, when you get a disease, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And you're getting worse. Death, no future hope. No future hope. I had my little badge came in handy at work one day, last couple weeks ago. The guy walked up and he started to witness to me. And I go, what? And he said, what kind of book are you reading? I was reading Sam Harris, Atheist. And he was probably confused. But he started telling me that, God is going to get a hold of everybody. And he's going to put them through the fires of purification. And he's going to change their mind. And we'll be with him forever. I go, wait a minute. Tell me again You know, it doesn't make any difference. I said, I can preach Sam Harris as the truth and teach that everybody ought to live a perverted lifestyle, and it doesn't make any difference because God's going to get a hold of us, and so it takes 1,000 years for him to change our mind. We're going to change our mind. We'll be conformed to the person of Jesus Christ and be with him and like him forever and ever. Said, no, I didn't say that. I said, yes, you did. Because we're all going to be at the same place at the end. So it doesn't make any difference. Yeah, he got flustered. He had to go somewhere for some reason. But, you know, that's what, you know, the person who bases their life on human assumptions instead of the truth is going to end up with this to deal with. Now, if you look at truth, you know, truth talks about order. We got the creation week. We got Jeremiah 31 that says, if this order doesn't hold true, this fixed order that I created, then I'm going to give up on Israel. Morality, Matthew 19:4. One man, one woman. And it's been that way since the beginning. Since the beginning. That's a long time. Since the beginning. Not three men, not two women and a dog. You know, it's one man, one woman. In the beginning, God made male and female. He didn't make anything in between. He made male and female. God is sovereign. His creative work is sovereign. His creative word is declarative. That's what God made, male and female. And that's all he allows for, male and female. Responsibility. Hebrews 5:14. Everybody was to give an account of himself to God. No, responsibility. That's accountability. Got ahead of myself. Hebrews 5:14 talks about the mature being able to discern good from evil. You know, we ate the fruit, you know, so we know good and evil. Wouldn't it be nice to know the difference? Be nice to know the difference. Hebrews 14 tells us we can learn to do that. We can train our minds to do that through practice. Practice is the big word. Practice is not something you do once. Practice is something you do over and over and over again. You know, a doctor doesn't study just healthy bodies. If a doctor just studied healthy bodies, he wouldn't know what brand of the disease you have if you've got one. He wouldn't know that. He wouldn't be able to fix it because he wouldn't know how to get the bad ones fixed. But, you know, that's what life based on truth does. You've got order, you've got morality, you've got responsibility. Human assumption, you've got confusion. That's why we get pluralism. We all have a belief, and no one belief has a corner on the market. Well, unless you've got truth. They even say, come down to say, there are no absolutes. Oh, really? How do you know that? Where did you get that information? Just asking two little simple questions like that can get you started. Immorality. Genesis 6:5. God looked down on the earth and he saw that man had only evil on his heart continually. And when you read through that, think about it. Only evil continually. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. When man leaves God behind, that's what he ends up with. Irresponsibility. Judges 21:25. There was no king in the land. Everybody did what was right in their own eye. That's irresponsible. That's chaotic. That's hectic. Can you imagine living in a country like that where everybody did whatever they pleased? No responsibility, no accountability. Romans says everybody shall give account of himself to God. If I have no accountability, why should I worry? Why should I worry? I can just do whatever I want. I could be irresponsible. I got no accountability. I can go out and do whatever I want. All these other guys are going to pay my hospital bill. I don't even have to have a job. I can still have my health insurance. I don't care what I have to give up. But I want that insurance. Carl Sagan said this about if God is omniscient and omnipotent. You know, why didn't he stretch the universe out so it would come out the way he wanted in the first place? He says, God is a sloppy manufacturer. He's not good at design. He's not good at execution. He'd be out of business if there was any competition. Oh, there ain't no competition. But that's what the atheists are saying, and they're bold about it. This is a different slant on things. I didn't know where to put this in. This is from the feminist. Have you ever wondered where in your culture people get the idea that Eve ate an apple? Whoops. There it is. Gaia, the primeval prophetess of the shrine of Delphi, who in Greek mythology is said to have given the golden apple tree, the tree of knowledge, to her daughter, the goddess Hera. Mythology affects the very culture you live in. And it's taken a while for Christianity to really come out strong and say, no, she just ate a piece of fruit. But for a long time, I remember people talking about Eve eating an apple. That's where the apple comes from. Comes from mythology. Joseph Unwin did a study. I tried to look around online for this book. It's a big book, but it's very rare, and it costs about $900 if you can find a copy. Somebody willing to sell it. 60 civilized and 80 uncivilized cultures, those with strong sexual ethics and those without strong sexual ethics. Now look down here. Cultures which began with but lost strong sexual ethics experienced cultural demise within 3 generations. Where are we on that scale? We're pretty close to are we getting to the first or the second one? There are no exceptions. He found no exceptions. Out of 96 civilizations, he found no exceptions to that. Is it any wonder the world doesn't want to reprint that book? So here's what we've got. You got truth. You live with order, morality, responsibility, accountability. Wouldn't you like to live in a world like that? Or live in one that worked on human assumptions, enduring confusion, immorality, irresponsibility, and no accountability? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God saw all that he had made. Behold, it was very good. And there was evening, morning, the sixth day. Sin made it all bad. Sin made it all bad. It affected what he was doing. And I'm talking too much. Then somebody say, well, there's got to be a middle ground. How can you know the other side is not right? There's got to be some middle ground. How is Genesis confirmed as an allegory? I've got 2 books written by one of the guys at BioLogos, a Harvard PhD, talked about the evangelical problem with the Old Testament, and another one entitled The Allegory of Adam. How did he get that? I've asked people who believe that if they read these 2 documents, and they said no, and they weren't going to. They'd Numa Elish, that's Babylonian paganism. The Babylonian tablets of creation. In the beginning, there was nothing but Apsu and Tiamat. Okay? Apsu and Tiamat. She was the mama. She had some kids. Marduk, that's not the big dog in the comic strip. That's this mythological god. He didn't like mama. So he killed her. Put her to death. The top part became the heavens, the lower part became the earth. Ever wonder why your culture talks about Mother Earth? Right there. Because that culture has crept in, and we talk about Mother Earth. Because the earth is mama. Among those that came, throughout eternity, talk that Marduk has created the heavens and the earth. Marduk says, what I say is always truth. If you say something loud enough for over a long enough period of time, people will start to believe the truth, believe what you say is the truth. That one, there's also the Epic of Gilgamesh. This 28 pages long, I won't read it. But just to point out, it's a summary of all the, the gods and goddesses of mythology. This guy shows up in there. The dying god of vegetation, bewailed by Ishtar. That's where we get our word Easter from. That's in there. Ever wonder why how your culture gets so much of this stuff in it? I'm sorry, computer. And in Ezekiel, he brought Ezekiel to the north, the gate of the house of the Lord, and the women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. This Babylonian paganism had infiltrated Judaism. It shows up right there in Ezekiel. Tammuz was one of the gods worthy of being mentioned in the Bible. But he's there. He's there. So we got the Babylonian paganism, the Epic of Gilgamesh. Then we have Genesis as part of the Old Testament, considered to be ancient writings to an ancient culture. That's why you guys have a problem with the Old Testament. The Old Testament was just ancient writings to an ancient culture, and they wrote in a language that you don't use anymore, and you've never spoken. Oh, where did you get that information? It just is. Now, they forgot one little thing. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That's the Old Testament. It's not just another iteration of ancient writers writing to ancient people. Now I read all that stuff and then I come across Jeremiah. And these are the words of God and you can use them too. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. They are altogether stupid and foolish in their discipline of delusion. All mankind is stupid, devoid of knowledge. That kind of thinking is nothing other than stupid. Now you may want to phrase it a little bit gentler. But that's what God refers to it as. Stupid. Placing the truth of God on the same level with pagan mythology whose gods are wooden and metal images and developing a conclusion in favor of false gods. That's what some Christians do. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Stand firm in what you know, and we are not going to get done. But levels of philosophy, you can either live and work in this arena or, and God says, turn to me and be saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. The God you serve and worship is the only one there ever is, there ever was, there ever will be. Got a book by the Bernstein Bears on nature. Bernstein Bears are fun-loving little characters. Except in this one, he gets to taking the kids out on a nature trip and he says, nature is all there was, all there is, and all there ever will be. No, God. Nature is not all there is, all there was, and all there ever will be. God is it. God is real. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's real. That's truth. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, eternal power, they are without excuse. Even the heathen are without excuse. In trying to write books and make themselves look smart, they became stupid. That's what happens. That's what happens when you leave the truth of God behind. Just leave God behind. you gravitate into the world of human assumptions. This is the reality program. God created it. It was very good. Man broke it. God is fixing it. God will restore it. Theistic evolution works a dialectic between God's truth and man's myth. We'll have to save that for a later time. But just, you know, some simple little questions. Just think of those two questions. When you talk to somebody and they tell you something strange, where did you get that information? How do you know that's true? Let me tell you what I know. And let me tell you how I know it's true. Now, you may need to read an extra book or two to learn a little bit more than you do. But, you know, this is how you can get out there, and this is how you can at least start people thinking. Start people thinking. So that they will vote next time for a society that can rely on and count on order, responsibility, accountability, and not one that relies on, ends up with confusion, immorality, irresponsibility, and no accountability. So if there are any questions, I'm about halfway through. I tried going through them all a couple times this afternoon. I could get through all the slides in half an hour, but I didn't quite make it. But we can continue this at a later time. But just remember those two questions, and remember the two sides of life, whether you base it on the truth or human assumptions. If you want to discuss any of that, be glad to do that. Father, thank you so much for the time that we've had. We just thank you for your truth that's revealed in your word. We thank you for the truth that's revealed in the very creation that you made. We just thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came this time of year to be our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. And may we always remember that, not just a time of fun and frolic, but a time of understanding that God revealed himself to us and promised to be with us. We just thank you again for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.